Hey, it started to get good in there.
Yes, it did.
15.
They had that rocking thing. You're no good, heartbreaker. You do these things to me. My friends keep telling me that you ain't no good, but oh, they don't know I'd leave you if I could. I guess I'm uptight and I'm stuck like glue. You'd run out of fools. Oh, but I was so wrong. You got a one that you'll never lose. The way you treat me, you do me so bad. Baby, you don't know that I'm the best thing you ever, ever had. So kiss me once again. do believe they better try and find somebody for themselves if they can. Now I don't mind a little company, because company's all right. It's all right with me once in a while. Tell you, I don't mind a little company. No, I don't. Because company's all right with me every once in a while. But oh, when me and that man get to loving, baby, I tell you, girls, I just don't have time to sit and chit and sit and chit chat and smile. Because love is a serious business. Yes, it is. And all love stays right on my mind all the time. I tell you that love is a before calling, sweetie, because everybody knows that serious business takes a long, a real long time. Now don't send me no doctor filling me up with all of those pills. I got me a good man named Dr. Feelgood.
First female member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Aretha Franklin. Those first two songs, two of her best-known songs, I Never Loved a Man and Dr. Feelgood, the versions that you just heard are demos recorded in late 1966. Welcome back. It is episode, where are we? Is this 14 or 15?
14.
I think we're at episode 14 of the Melnick and Murphy podcast. Hope you're enjoying your hot summer. Mitch Melnick and Shane Murphy at CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
How you doing, Shane Murphy? How's your summer been?
Hot. Too hot. Alan, can I get more of myself in the phones when you get a chance? It's sticky.
Yeah.
I love summer. I'm a summer guy. My favorite season. But after this, and apparently this whole global warming thing is just a myth, but...
We have become South Florida.
It's just sticky.
It's gotten to the point where, oh, geez, it's only going to be 26.
Yeah.
Relief. That used to be the high all the time.
I end of August, beginning of September, I always feel a bit melancholic because it's summers are so brief here in Montreal and so precious. But it's just been really, I have a black Jeep with a black interior. And I got it in my car the other day. It was 48 degrees. That's what the thermostat said. 48 degrees inside the car.
So what do you do?
Sticky. Well, I roll down the windows and you hope for the best. And you just drive around and just say, oh, my first world problems. Poor me driving around in my car.
You just drop ice cubes all over the place.
Yeah.
It's a tip. Somebody gave me a nice tip for to keep your cats cool. Yeah? Is to take an ice cube and rub their entire body from head to tail.
With an ice cube?
With an ice cube, yeah. They love it. They don't like water.
No, it depends on the cat.
Well, my cats love it.
Okay.
I got two cats. They love it. But the problem is now they expect it because every day is the same frickin' thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping for, I'm anxious and excited for fall, tell you the truth. But that'll probably be like some weird temperature shift and we'll be getting snow in October.
To cool off. Yeah. See, a week ago at this time, I was in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of New Hampshire. And I'm not going to complain that the water was a little cold compared to Cape Cod, which is kind of what I'm used to. But
that's a bad hat, Harry. You're going to need a bigger boat. See any sharkies?
Oh, the shark! We were at Jenna State Beach, actually, which is about a 20-minute drive from a beautiful little town. You'd love it. They have a great music store there called Bull Moose Music. It's an old-school record store, music store. They got a lot of hard-to-find titles on everything. And it's a funky little town with really great restaurants, good live music scene. We saw Hayes Carl play in the park there.
He's great.
He's a really terrific songwriter.
Yeah.
And it's a fun time for 3 or 4 days. Fun time.
Well, an ex-girlfriend of mine was crazy about Hayes Carl.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So is Steve Earle's ex-wife. Steve Earle's ex-wife. What? Steve Earle said something publicly. He said she left me for a younger version of myself who doesn't write as well.
Oh, okay, and humble too.
Yeah. He's coming to town. 30th anniversary of Copperhead Road, September 18th.
Are we going?
I certainly hope so.
We should have a mandate. You and I.
We should have a Billy Bob Productions party.
Yeah, the team
at Steve Earle. Because you know, if Billy, I thought about this. If Billy Bob Productions was an actual artist, it would probably be Steve Earle.
Right.
You know what I mean.
And if Billy Bob were here,
he'd be making cookies.
What kind of cookies? Chocolate chip?
He'd be making all kinds of cookies for us.
Would he go see that show?
Yes, absolutely. So he'd be there. He'd be there dancing to Copperhead Road. One of those songs, one note, right?
Yeah.
One note, you know, exactly.
Yeah. And that's an unorthodox song structure, too. Because you just have the bass drum droning the whole, like, for the first half of the song before they even hit the chorus. But great story.
And he's fiddled with it over the years. He plays it on banjo. He's been playing it on banjo a lot lately. But let's get back to Aretha, because when I said those two songs were actual demos of what became later the smash hits, you were taken aback a little bit.
I mean, for someone who's I've recorded on tape, which is what they recorded on back then when I first started out, and then like everything else with the digital revolution, we had no choice but to start recording with computers, because tape became too expensive and things became a lot easier. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Auto-Tune or Melodyne. Have you ever heard of Melodyne?
Yeah.
Do you know what Melodyne is?
No, but I...
Okay, so you have Auto-Tune, which is like T-Pain, Cher came out with that song. Do you bleed right? Like super hard... Like tuned super hard, meaning the guy takes the knob and he really cranks it. So the computer has a scale and it puts whatever bad note that you sing, it puts into the right note of the scale. But Melodyne is a much smoother version, so you can't really tell. And there are guys who just do that. So you go and you record your album. All that to say is that Aretha Franklin did not have Auto-Tune or Melodyne, and it's just ridiculous. When you listen to the quality of musicianship with her and the band. And so when you said demo version,
that was a demo with
I was like, yeah, we'll just kick out it, but different time, right?
That was Aretha on piano and unnamed bass player and drummer, and that's it. It's stripped down. It's from a rare and unreleased collection, Aretha Franklin rare and unreleased recordings from the golden reign of the Queen of Soul, with extensive liner notes by her longtime producer Jerry Wexler. And by the Queen of Soul. I remember, I don't know if it was the Grammys or some other major music event, and Tina Turner was introduced as the Queen of Soul, and apparently Aretha hit the roof.
Ugh.
You don't blame her, right? I mean, it's no comparison.
Yeah, I mean, you could say the Queen of R&B or the Queen of something, but yeah, she's the, would you say the Muhammad Ali of...
Rolling Stone named her, for what it's worth, but it's Rolling Stone. They have a lot of knowledgeable music people who have written for that publication over the years, and a lot of fellow musicians who voted on it as the number one singer of all time, ahead of Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, Elvis, and John Lennon, among others.
Well, John Lennon, that's greatest vocalist of all time?
John Lennon? Well, from the rock era, John Lennon was a great vocalist. You don't think so? He had a very distinctive...
Sure, but I mean in terms of... Not in terms of power, maybe, but in terms of command of your instrument, I mean, that's different. Otis Redding is a different singer than John Lennon, I would say.
Yeah, but
and I think even John Lennon would... I mean, I can't speak for John Lennon, obviously.
Well, try. Try to speak in John Lennon's voice right here, right now.
Will Mitchell, it was a tough... I can't do that.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
The Liverpudlian... He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
It's a little Irish there.
Yeah. Shane, we'll be back in an hour.
Give us Shane McGowan.
We're going to see it. Hey, sir. Hey. There's only one punk band. The Sex Pistols. The rest is shite. There's a great Shane McGowan documentary, If I Should Fall From Grace. It's on YouTube.
Shane McGowan. It's on YouTube.
Yeah. And there's pictures of him dancing around in a Union Jack blazer in front front row of the Sex Pistols. And he's like going crazy. Anyways, digression.
Anybody who's had a drink or five in the rec room at Hurley's upstairs, you might notice that there's an actual signed photo of Shane McGowan up there. It was signed to Rod Appleby.
Yeah.
After he performed, not with the...
Kirk McGecky opened for him with Orialis for that show.
The late Kirk McGecky.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Tony Albino was on drums with Kirk McGecky. And he told me it was the most insane thing he's ever witnessed.
By Shane McGowan?
Well, it was sponsored by Guinness.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And he said the mandolin player looked like, because he watched the show side stage, and he said the mandolin player looked like he had his feet nailed to the floor. And he was just like leaning back and forth. And they just wanted to know where the booze was when they got in for soundcheck. They soundchecked for like 5 minutes, like an 8-piece band. And Tony said they were monsters. Like, they're just crazy.
Well, it was a legendary night. Rod Appleby has told the story on TSN 690 radio.
Stephen Early was bartending for Shane McGowan and Rod. And I thought he was making shit up.
The late Stephen Early.
May he rest in peace.
Thank goodness Shane McGowan's still with us. How's he done this?
Wow. He's got a bit of that Keith Richards DNA.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So I've been listening to a lot of Aretha for obvious reasons, and we're going to get to your favorite, or one of your favorite Aretha. It's hard to pin it down to one, right? One or two songs. And I didn't want to go with the obvious choices, but some of the great songs are just so good, you got to play them. But I'm looking for a way to play a couple of them that maybe our listeners haven't heard before. There was a live album at Bill Graham's Fillmore West in San Francisco that came out in the early 70s. So we're going to hear two songs, the next two songs, also two big hits for Aretha Franklin.
Is that Live at the Fillmore?
Live at the Fillmore West, 1971.
I believe that's Cornell Dupree on guitar and Bernard Purdy on drums, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know who's in the rest of the band, but...
Billy Preston might have been in the band
very
on organ.
Very
I think Billy Preston was on organ in that band, yep.
Yep.
Was Willie Weeks on bass, who we just saw at Boss Guy X concert?
Man, he's good.
Willie Weeks may have been part of this band. But here we go, back to back from Live at the Fillmore in the early 70s. Respect, and another one of her terrific.
For all of us here at Fillmore West, this is a long awaited pleasure presenting the First Lady, Aretha Franklin.
Yeah.
We'll give it back to you just for a minute. And like I said, relax. And I promise you, you will enjoy this show as much as any that you've ever had an occasion to see. All right?
Chitlin, Shane Murphy?
I have not partaken of the chitlins yet. I don't even know what a chitlin is.
It's the old chitlin circuit in the South.
Yeah, but is that grits? Is that grits?
I assumed it was something like grits. I thought you would know.
Well, there's a lot I don't know.
Apparently.
Socrates said that's the first step towards enlightenment, right? Knowing how much you don't know.
Donald Rumsfeld said something like that about knowns.
There are known knowns. That is to say that are the things that we know that we know we know. And there are known unknowns. But there's also unknown unknowns. That is to say.
That's impressive. So you nailed the rhythm section from Live at the Fillmore. That was Bill Graham. That was his club introducing Aretha. It's the expanded edition, Live at the Fillmore, 1971. The rhythm section, Billy Preston on organ.
You called that.
And the Kingpins, including Cornell Dupree on guitar.
One of my favorite guitar players. Amazing.
Jerry, I can't read this, Jemmett on electric bass.
Jerry Jemmott.
Jemmott, thank you. Bernard.
Purdy. Pretty Purdy.
On drums.
Well, well, Samba time. He's great.
Poncho Morales on congas.
I actually did a session with Bernard Purdy.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Where? When?
He was in Montreal and he was doing, it's a funny story. He was doing a session, he was producing an album by, for Michelle Sweeney, who's from Cleveland originally, and she's been Montreal mainstay and in the soul scene for a long time. And
House of Jazz appears
House
regularly.
Of Jazz, yeah, yeah. So somehow connections are made. He's producing the album, and they don't have any guitar players in town. And so a buddy of mine calls me up, and he had the studio at the time. It was right, it's where the old, there was a massage parlor, kitty corner across from Brutopia. It said massage. But it used to be a studio. I think it was Afro Cat's studio. So I get a call at 10 in the morning, and my buddy Ilya calls me. He goes, dude, and I think he's bullshitting me. He's like, dude, we got Bernard Purdy in studio. We had no guitar players. Cecil Dokenge is out of town, and Cat Dyson, Mr. Flight, or something happened. So they needed a guy, somebody who could play funk. And there are a lot of great funk guitar players in Montreal, but my four top funk guitar players would be Cat Dyson, Cecil Dokenge, a guy named Daniel Joseph, goes by the name of DJ, played with the Aliens forever, and Mike O'Reilly. DJ's out of town, Mike O'Reilly's in Singapore, Cat Dyson's in LA, Cecil Dokenge's on tour, they call me, and I show up, and it's Bernard Purdy. And Bernard Purdy is, like, you know, rumored to play with the Beatles, and huge resume. And I'm setting up my stuff, and he's looking at me, and I'm setting up all these sort of, pedals. And he's like, "Is you going to play that tonight?" And he kept on sucking his teeth.
He was getting the chitlins out.
Yeah, no, so I was bent down low, and he was standing. His feet were right where my pedals were, so I was, like, staring at his feet. And I looked up, and he had, like a couple of gold teeth in him. "Is that what you going to play today?" "Well, all right." I guess he was in a bad mood. And I sit down, and they play. They're doing a version of That's Life.
Sinatra?
Sinatra. But with a Purdy shuffle. Now, Purdy shuffle is a very particular drum beat. The hi-hat's like... Right? So it's got all this shit going on, and it's a very particular thing. You could hear it on Steely Dan albums, and the rest of the song would be like, it's like a really weird swung thing. Anyways, I sit down, and usually the producer will tell you what key the song is in. He'll tell you what the title of the song is, and what feel he was looking for. I was looking at him, and he goes, "All right, man, I guess we'll try it." And he just rolled it. He just rolled the tape. And I was shitting in my pants, and they didn't use any of it.
They didn't use it?
No, it was terrible.
How old were you again?
27.
So that would be, 15
years ago, yeah.
By the way, King Curtis on saxophone, part of that band. He opened the shows at the Fillmore in 1971. Melnick and Murphy, the latest podcast, available at MitchMelnick.com at CNS Studios in Western NDG. Thank you, Alan Hodgson, for the hospitality. And, of course, a big thank you to Lorne Rubin of Paramount Financial Services, the main sponsor of this podcast. We wouldn't keep going if Lorne didn't help us out. Have you seen the commercials about financial advisors where the family or the husband and wife they're in, and they're talking about all the service charges, and they want to take their money out, and the guy says, "Well, I don't think that's a very good move," and they say, "Not a good move for us or for you."
Yeah.
I think we could all relate to that. I can guarantee you do not have that issue with Lorne. at Paramount. He's hands on. He's not a big conglomerate, but he takes very good care of his clients. He's a big music fan. He's just a mensch. Lorne Rubin at Paramount Financial Services, 514-905-0876, 514-905-0876. So of the
Mitchell, if I may interject,
yes,
interrupt, postpone the proceedings. You're of the faith. I'm not of the faith. How would you translate
mensch
for a layperson? A mensch. What's a
just
mensch?
A good guy. He's a really good guy.
It's like a good fella. He's a good fella.
He's a good fella.
Like that?
Not, but he's not connected.
Okay.
As far as I know.
No, he's a good fella.
Yeah. He's just a good fella.
I heard he was doing some business with Yankel Goldstein. Chomedy. I didn't want to say anything, but it's a word on the street.
Uncle Yank, you know. Yank Barry. Look him up. Yank Barry. Very controversial figure. Very good friends with Muhammad Ali.
That's your...
My cousin. Actually,
I used to roadie when I was in my early 20s for Alan Falovich.
Are you serious?
Well, how would I know that?
Why
did your eyes pop out of your head right now? Why would I bullshit?
Yank Barry's real name is Falovich, and it's my cousin. Very good friends with Ruben Fogel.
Great guitar player. I was doing security at Monklin HSP on the corner of Hampton and Monklin. And I'd see this guy coming in and out, and he got into a bad car accident, Alan did, and he had whiplash. And he couldn't lift his gear, and he needed a roadie. Why would I make that? You're like Bernard Purdy. You're like, Murphy's full of shit. He's making shit.
No. There's nothing you say that I doubt. I'm just, this is cuts close to home.
Well, I'm telling you, he used to do all kinds of parties
That's
and
incredible.
Just sit there by himself. Yeah. But he had like this... It was like the 90s, so like road cases were heavy and amps and stuff. And he couldn't his neck. He had like a vertebrae fused or something. Yeah. Anyways,
that wasn't Yank though. That was his.
That was Alan.
Brother.
Yeah,
that was his
Alan,
brother.
Yeah.
Wow, unbelievable, Shane. So
I'm not old, but I've been around a long time.
But you say fellas a lot, right? Like me and the fellas, kind of like Dr. John at the Last Waltz.
Like to take the fellas, you know what I'm saying? Everybody in the band. Like the fellas down and everybody in the band. What did you say? Doesn't matter. Dink, dink, dink. Such a night. What? My best friend Jim. And all of the Johnny, take away from if I don't do it, you know someone else will. Alan Hodgson. No more Jack Daniels at the podcast. I'm half cut, man.
No,
I'm
this
half
is
cut.
Great.
I'm
this
half
is,
cut.
This is your best performance yet.
Yeah.
Shane's about to leave for Newfoundland. He's going to move from Jack Daniels to Screech.
No, Lamb's.
The annual
Lamb's spiced rum.
Writers at Woody Point, which we'll get to in a second. But interesting that in the five songs that we played, you performed two of them at our Southern Soul and Rock and Roll Review, April 6th at Club Soda.
I did. I just
backing up Selena Wolf on Respect and Don Tyler Watson on Dr. Feelgood.
I just got the bill in the mail from SoCan. Big money. Big money.
Yes.
Whew, I'm going to call Lorne, see if I can get a loan.
Oh, well. Are you a supporter of SoCan?
Well,
apparently they're a support of you.
They are. Something happened in Europe, and I got a check for like $2,000. Like deposited in my checking account. Just
$2,000?
Yeah, just like that.
It's better than like, I think it was 2 cents.
I think it was the Big Sugar thing, because Big Sugar had covered three or four songs on a couple of different albums. So I think that was that's what happened. I looked at my checking account and I was like, "What? It's party time!"
Because very well-known Rock and Roll Hall of Famers get like 2 cents a play off Spotify, right? David Crosby has been very outspoken on Twitter about what
right.
he doesn't get. Now, there's something to be said about that. I don't know what
Peter Frampton.
I don't know what your view is, but I do know that David Crosby, at this stage in his life, it's kind of a shame that he doesn't have any money. He's 77.
He has no dough.
He lives okay, but he has to keep recording and touring.
Right.
But he made a lot of money back in the day that he snorted up his nose. You know, so.
It's snowing outside. It's snowing. Oh, look, forecast calls for snow. Well, I think it's just the way it is with digital streaming. People are not going to buy, it's a very specific demographic that's going to buy CDs. Vinyl's coming back, thank God. But it's just changed how people regard music and digest music is changed. You can go on Spotify. You can listen to any song that you want. I use Spotify. What I don't think is really cool is that whoever the owner of Spotify is making millions and millions and millions of dollars. And, you know, if you're making $180 million, would you be okay with kicking back $100 million to the people who made you?
Yeah, the people who are responsible for the music.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, like, you can't play Do Re Mi on the piano, but you're you know, you own a piece of Sweden now, or you know, it's big dough. So I don't really think that's cool. But that's the music business. That's how it was 40 years ago, but just a different structure, I think.
So as Aretha Franklin took a real bad turn for the worse, did you think back to that night at Club Soda playing a couple of those?
Yeah, when Don said, "I want to do Dr. Feelgood," I said, "Holy shit," after I listened to the song, because it's a blues, but it's particular. It's funny, I was thinking about when we were listening to the, what was the second track after Respect?
Don't Play That Song.
The amount of influence gospel music has had. Because those are gospel changes. Those aren't just straight up.
Well, that's where she started.
Yeah, right, exactly. And Elvis, too. Arguably the biggest male and female vocalist ever. Arguably.
Arguably, yeah. Proper use of the term arguably.
And it's gospel. That's where their foundation is. And yeah, so Don said sent me the changes for Dr. Feelgood, and I was like, oh my god, this is. But Rob McDonald, he's like, oh, I've played that song many times before, and I was like, awesome. I'll just you take the lead, and I'll just sit here and comp quietly. That's how you get a guitar player to turn down. You just put a chord chart in front of him. So I just turned my amp down a little bit. But yeah, no, it was great. I mean, a great song, and Don is. Tremendous. So it was.
You had Don Tyler Watson, who's been around the scene for a long time.
Yeah,
still vibrant, and Selena Wolf, who's just starting at the age of 21, added to the bill on your recommendation.
Yeah,
and the showstopper was "It's a Man's World," but before that, she performed "Respect." We had to have "Respect" part of the night because it was an Otis Redding pen song, made more famous by Aretha.
Yeah,
and she nailed it.
Oh my God, yeah, she's. She got that thing, so I
what is that thing? What is that thing?
That thing that when she hit that note, that you know exactly what I'm talking about in "A Man's World" at that song, that at that point in the evening, that everybody knew in the building, in the band, that was the defining moment of the show for me.
Hear that, Knuckles? Chris and Jamie left after Andrea Ramelo.
Okay.
It was a late night, and they left. So they left. I said, you should have just hung in for two more songs.
I don't know what Mitch is talking about, Knuckles. I love you, even if you leave early.
Speaking of Andrea, she's back. She's got an album coming out called Homage, mm-hmm. all Leonard Cohen covers. And we're largely responsible for this because...
You sounded like Christopher Walken there. We're largely responsible. Wow.
Back in November, the 2016.
Cow over the moon. Wow. I'm a dancer, Mitch, not a prancer.
But at the last waltz, remember Leonard had passed away, and we wanted to do something, and she got together with Gavin Gardner of the Wooden Sky and did "Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye." It was beautiful. That kind of spawned this. She used to stay at Leonard's house through her friendship with Adam Cohen, and so now she's going to perform at Casa del Popolo. This will be Billy Bob's first foray into the Plateau Mile End area on November the 10th with Bud Rice.
Yep,
opening
he's going to be doing the opener, yeah, November 10th.
Andrea will be there with a trio. Tickets, I think, are on sale by the time people are listening to this. There are only about 75 tickets available, so please don't wait. It's going to be a very special night. We have Tommy Youngstein returning, the show that they were supposed to give.
Santa Claus has delivered my gift early.
On November the 30th, back at the Fairmount Theater with Bilal Butt opening up. I think Bilal...
Full band? What's going on there?
What,
Jesus Christ.
He's being distracted.
Alan's being distracted.
I think Lisa Mackey is in the house.
Drinking the Jack,
Alan
too.
Alan is being distracted a little bit, I think.
We're trying to do a goddamn podcast here.
you're turning into Foster Brooks.
I just like to thank my partner, Mitch.
Do you want to play Foster Brooks at our roast?
Flippy, Flabby, Tony, Tammy.
Marinero. They've been loving you. Listen, I've been to high school.
Yes. Oh. Is this a joke? No, it's a roast of Tony Marinero. It is going down on Thursday, September 27th at Club Soda. VIP tickets. What are the VIP tickets? Because I haven't been on the air. People are asking me. It means your table, your seats, your chairs, they're reserved. No matter what time you get there, it's waiting for you, and it's close to the stage. They're going to be gone very soon.
And shots of grappa with Tony backstage.
Oh, my goodness.
Woo-wee.
I can guarantee you this with Derek Sagan as our MC. There are going to be a lot of surprises. Shane is going to be performing music as people walk into the club, and
yep.
You're going to do a full set, and you're going to sing with some people that...
I'm working on my tarantella.
Alan, can you make sure Shane has some Jack the next podcast?
Tony, I'm working on my tarantellas. It'll be tarantulas when I'm done with them.
So that is Club Soda. Please don't wait to get your tickets. Almost everybody from TSN 69 will be on site. A lot of surprises. It's going to be hysterical, and it's for a good cause. It's for families of children who are afflicted with a disease that basically it's a degenerative spinal disease that really hits kids. And I know one of Tony's friends, unfortunately, his son was an athlete confined to a wheelchair by the age of 19. So there's a real...
oh, my God.
Yeah, there's an underlying theme to this night. And I hope to see many of you out there. Thursday, September 27th, tickets are available at Club Soda on the website.
That's pretty cool of Tony.
Sure is. Yeah.
You got some balls there?
You know, underneath it all. That's why we're doing it.
Why are you saying underneath it all?
Well, he's got this certain persona, right? And he blocks people. He's ultra sensitive. If you don't like what he says, he'll block you on Twitter.
I'm ultra sensitive.
Except when you have Jack in you.
Except when I have Jack. Then I'm not sensitive at all. But that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
If someone said we're going to do the Shane Murphy roast, I'd be like, no. No.
Well, actually, you were the next one planned.
No, don't roast me. No, don't roast me. I ain't coming.
We're going to have a roast.
I'm going to have a meltdown in the middle.
A roast of Shane
you
Murphy.
You goddamn sons of bitches.
Featuring 27 drummers.
If you want to do that, they get even with Shane. We could just have like all the drummers and all the musicians that I've played with over the years just come up and tell me what they really think of me.
But then I get to rebut,
right?
Yes, of course. That's the whole point of it. Is Tony gets to answer back at the end
of
the night.
No problem.
So I asked. Before we get to your favorite Aretha song, Dr. John. Interesting. She's played with everybody. She recorded with everybody back in the day. Dr. John was in on many of her sessions. We played on an earlier podcast her version of The Weight with Dwayne Allman on lead guitar. And here's another version of a song featuring another guitar god, Eric Clapton. You may have seen this. Have you seen the Clapton documentary, A Life in 12 Bars?
Nope, not yet.
Oh, it's riveting. To have footage of him when he was a nasty, nasty, messy drunk.
I like that.
What do you like about that?
Well, it's rock and roll. What do you want? Guy's vegan and he doesn't do anything and he has his wife and been married for 30 years and everything's good. Most people's lives aren't good. Yeah. So it's nice to have a little bit of edge. I'm happy that he's found.
Well, it's beyond an edge.
No, but
I was
saying,
beyond an edge.
Well, you know
you
what?
You got to see this footage. He was nasty.
Well,
he was bad. He was a bad dude.
In what way?
He was belligerent and he was killing himself. He was hurting people around him, his musicians, his band, the people closest to him. But most of all, he was killing himself slowly before.
How was he hurting people around in his band?
Well, you'll have to see the documentary. He was not in a condition to play on many, many nights.
Okay.
You can imagine that's like.
That's a big club.
I mean, he's you know, drinking right out of the bottle, drinking vodka straight right out of a bottle.
Well,
I mean, not just sipping. Like drinking the whole bottle, but anyway,
okay.
He got his life together. I don't know. Is it cutting too close to the Jack Daniels that you're finishing off here, or what?
Well, I mean,
before a gig.
Okay. Remember that guitar player we saw at Theatre Saint Denis? I'm not going to mention names.
Yeah. It was Place des Arts.
No, Theatre Saint Denis.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I remember.
All right.
You think he's drinking vodka from the bottle? Or is he checking his stock portfolio?
Yeah,
for the
I don't
show?
Really care.
Why don't you care?
He's cleaning his sunglasses.
Why don't you care?
Because I don't have any feeling for him.
Why don't you?
Because it didn't do anything for me.
Okay.
His music. I
when
I,
you took me to see Clapton, that was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember?
Well, yeah.
Did you feel that?
Of course. He's brilliant. Clapton's brilliant. And he
I'm not saying
act.
That you have
and
to
And what's
be...
great about Clapton is having gone through hell, which he went through, personal hell, to come out of it and then lose his son at the age of 6
yeah.
and not go through a relapse. I think that was very impressive.
I'm not saying that, and I'm not saying that you have to be a drunk or a drug addict, but people who are compelled to share themselves on stage through music, through that type of music, you're battling certain things. Things are not okay. Things are not okay. You have to get stuff out. And if you don't have,
that's
and you're
soul.
Like, and you're like,
yeah,
and you're like, oh, well, things are really, really okay. And you still learn and practice the guitar. People will be sitting in the audience and be like, well, I can't relate to this guy.
And maybe it's time to leave.
And maybe it's time to go.
Yeah.
So that's all I mean. That's all I mean by that.
I got you.
Know?
Well, let's listen to a song. This is amazing. It's from Lady Soul, the album Lady Soul, Aretha with Eric Clapton. Good to me. As I am to you.
Saying is be as good to me as I am to you.
From Lady Soul, Aretha Franklin with Eric Clapton on lead guitar. Can you imagine what that would be like recording with Aretha at the height of her power?
Not if you're high, it doesn't matter. But
actually, apparently Clapton was so terrified and intimidated that his
how could you not be?
It was recorded separately. That solo was recorded separately. Yeah.
Was it you that told me about the concert for Bangladesh? Like they
yeah, he was almost like zombie
like. Or like Clapton. They threw that concert to get him. That's what I heard. Allegedly, that was one of the reasons to do this concert to get him out of the house.
Well, he was in the throes of addiction. There's no question about that. And he played. He played really well, but he didn't move. You talked before about being nailed to the stage.
Yeah,
if you watch the concert for Bangladesh,
I think that might
like
be
that.
Me tonight in Honey's. you'll
get
me.
Are you moving? Are you moving from the Jack to the Southern Comfort? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm sticking with Jack.
All right. So before we get to your favorite Aretha song on the Melnick and Murphy podcast, thank you very much for listening at MitchMelnick.com. Thank you to Lorne Rubin, Paramount Financial Services. What about the voice? Talk about her voice.
People are given the voice that they're born with. Now it either sounds good or it sounds bad. Like radio disc jockeys. They either like, yeah, baby, this leaves it, and you want to listen to it, or some guys have an unappealing voice. Now, some people have a good-sounding voice, but they can't really sing. Aretha has a really pleasing tone, and she knows what to do with it. So, it's...
She sang opera.
God-given or universe-given, if you're an atheist. It's just one of those things. So, you can't... I'm sure, you know, she was singing since she was four in the church and put the work in, but at the same time, there's a certain amount of...
Heavy life. Her dad was shot.
Yeah. I think 79 he was shot.
She was, she battled the bottle as well. She was a chain smoker at one point. Imagine
they know
that
what,
kind of voice.
They know what they're putting in there.
Yeah.
Woo, Lord, I'm a fool for a cigarette, is what Ryan Carter would say.
So when I said, give me your favorite Aretha song, why did you say this one?
Because I there's so many to choose from, but I think... I do like
a lot of
Hans and Franz.
Hans and Franz. We're going to pump you up with some Jack Daniels. Meine kleine Schweine.
Did you see Arnold?
Das is good.
Did you see Arnold Schwarzenegger's message to Trump about Nazis on YouTube? Isn't that amazing? And his little Trump bobblehead in front of him.
Oh, I can't.
That's like one of the great trolls ever.
I try not to look at the... the circus anymore.
Yeah,
I find it depressing.
Well, that's why I'm looking to laugh, and that made me laugh.
Yeah,
Arnold,
California.
But anyway, back to the.
What was I saying?
Your song.
Oh yeah, so I'm a fan of Kanye West's music, and I think there's so anybody listening to this who's a Kanye fan will get this next song. Hopefully, I think it's on College Dropout, and I listened to it, and we were shooting the shit before earlier today, you and I, and I was like, what songs do I want to hear? And I was scrolling through, and I saw Spirit in the Dark, and I was like, oh yeah, I clicked on it, and all of a sudden it was dawn on me that Kanye had sampled it and pitched it up and made a great, great song called School Spirit, but this is the original, and it's just... I don't know, it just makes me feel good. Spirit in the dark.
Getting the spirit in the dark. I'm getting the spirit in the dark. People moving. Brother,
What a great choice. What a spirit. Alpha step, Omega step, Kappa step, Sigma step, gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk. Ooh, hecky no, that boy is raw. AKA step, Delta step, SGO step, Zeta step, gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk. Ooh, hecky no, that boy is raw. I'ma get on this TV, mama. I'ma put this down. I'ma make sure these light-skinned niggas never, ever, never come back in style. Told them I finished school and I started my own business. They say, oh, you graduated. No, I decided I was finished. Chasing y'all dreams and what you got planned. Now I spit it so hot, you got tan. Back to school and I hate it there, I hate it there. Everything I want, I gotta wait a year, I wait a year. Graduated at the top of our class. I went to cheesecake, he was up for the muffin, waited there. Alpha step, Omega step, Kappa step, Sigma step, gangsters rock. Shane's Aurora, playing this off his phone.
Go to the Aurora.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's A1 Kanye.
2004, first album.
So I was looking to see who was playing the lead guitar on the track. Jimmy Johnson or Buzz Fighton. Do you know him? Howard Buzz Fighton, F-E-I-T-E-N?
No.
Or Jimmy O'Rourke, Sweet Inspirations backed her up. What a great, that's, did you, I'm going to guess you never got a chance to see her live.
No.
I did. With Lloyd Fischler at the Jazz Fest.
Lloydie.
And we were in the front row.
Come on.
We were in the front row when we left at the intermission. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't say that on the podcast, Mitch.
Well, it was not a good show.
And fake news.
I wish I had had the opportunity to see her even in the 80s, you know, when she was doing the the Blues Brothers came out in when, 1980?
80.
That was a great scene with Aretha. That's one of the best scenes in the movie. And then she had a...
Daddy, some man in here having two pieces of dry white toast and a whole chicken.
That must be Elroy.
Dan Aykroyd must be fun to hang out with, huh?
I think I'd rather hang out with Jim Belushi, but...
You mean John Belushi?
Sorry, K-9. I just saw the movie, Jim Belushi. Sorry, John Belushi.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger, 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 cheeseburger.
You wouldn't be drinking Jack with Dan Aykroyd. You'd be drinking his vodka.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think the Freeway of Love was her last hit, right, in the mid-80s?
Yeah.
That was it. And
best so far, album title ever.
Freeway of Love?
No. Who's Zoomin' Who?
Who's Zoomin' Who? Didn't she do Pink Cadillac Springsteen song on that album? I seem to recall that.
What does that mean to zoom someone? Who's zooming who? What does that mean? Who's screwing who?
Who's fucking around with who?
Or who's fooling who?
Who's
fooling who?
Who's busting balls?
Oh, we know that answer, ladies and gentlemen. Who's zooming who?
So by the time we saw Aretha, she was, you know, she had numerous health issues. I think everybody knows the whole story, and her really great performances were very few and far between the last couple of decades. So when I say, for example, like the greatest soul singer that I've ever seen with my own eyes and heard with my own ears live was Betty LaVette.
Okay.
Betty LaVette, still into her 70s. Moves around the stage like a dancer, has a very powerful, soulful voice. She's an amazing singer. I didn't see Aretha, you know, even when she was in her 50s. I only saw Aretha later on, and she was not in good shape. Probably her last great moment in public. They were honoring Carole King, great songwriter. You know, they made a play about Carole King called, I think it's called Beautiful.
Really?
It's played Broadway. It's played in England.
Tin Pan Alley, right?
Right, with
Neil Sedaka?
Yes, but Carole King and Jerry Goffin.
That's not who you were thinking of.
No, I was thinking of Jerry Goffin.
I love my calendar girl every day, every day of the year. Come on, everybody.
That was the Brill Building. Yep. That's Tin Pan Alley.
Yeah.
And so she was being honored by the Kennedy Center.
Lou Reed.
That's right. Lou Reed wrote songs at his desk in the Brill Building. Imagine that.
This one goes like this. That is man and man and man and man and man and man and man, sweet Jane.
Are we wrapping up soon? I think we
need we're
to,
almost,
I'm getting to critical mass here.
I know.
Well, I'm not going to last too much longer.
I've already cut a couple of songs here. So let me get into this. This is the Kennedy Center honoring Carole King. And you know when they have an artist, great artist, who's being honored, they have a bunch of different performers sing their songs for them. And just the reaction by Carole King, who was not expecting Aretha to walk out on stage and sound as powerful as she did. The Obamas were there. Barack Obama's actually brushing a tear away when she starts singing because she hadn't been...
I miss Barry, by the way.
You think?
I miss Barry.
So here is probably Aretha Franklin's last great single performance on a signature tune written by Carole King, which Aretha eventually took and owned, from 2015.
Well, there is only one Aretha Franklin.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. When I knew I had to face another day, oh, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so
spine-tingling moment. Kennedy Center honoring Carole King And Aretha came out and delivered an incredibly emotional, powerful performance. That was from 2015. We are wrapping up the Melnick and Murphy podcast. Loving tribute to the great Aretha Franklin, the queen of soul. You're about ready to head to Newfoundland.
Tomorrow. Planes at one.
That's
going to have some
that's
fun.
That's why you've gone through half of the barrel. Is this single barrel?
Listen, why?
Is this single barrel, Jack?
That's a regular. Roll out the barrel.
Okay.
Barrel full of monkeys.
I'm
over a barrel.
When I mentioned that I want to go to Newfoundland to the other, to the east side, because I went with you to one of these.
I'll never drive with you to Newfoundland again. I'll never drive to Newfoundland again. If I'm going to drive that far, we could have driven to Havana.
Yes, we could. Yeah,
Cuba. It's the same amount of time.
The way
if
there...
If there was a ferry...
It was 26 hours.
29 hours.
So the way there was actually kind of fun, but the road back was a chore.
Yeah, New Brunswick's way too long and way too many Campbell garages and Tim Hortons. And
McCain's.
I mean this, all the best the people of New Brunswick, but holy shit, just rolling like...
It was not picturesque.
No, and Steve Traynor had the...
He fell asleep.
The veteran stamina. No,
No. I was in the back seat. Traynor and Shane, on the way back, were in the front seat, and my job was to look in the rearview mirror to make sure that Traynor's eyes were not closing.
And he fell asleep?
He did.
Did I take over?
No. I yelled, "Steve!" And he apologized.
Well...
You were asleep.
He did better than I did.
In the passenger seat. I
drove for the first 10 hours back, and then I was like, "Steve, I can't do this.
Yeah,
you gotta take over." So.
Yeah. Well, what did you do in Newfoundland during the festival?
Well,
this has nothing to do with a brownie.
No,
right?
Nothing
it's
to do with brownie.
Just a normal festival with your pals.
Yeah, Lou McDonald and Rob Gillard and all the buys. Yeah.
So, our good friend of Billy Bob, Tom Wilson, and Blackie and the Rodeo Kings. As we record this, they are playing the second of two nights.
Yeah.
In that, what is that? It's not the church, the other room, the main room where the readings are done and the live music.
The Woody Point Heritage Theater.
Yeah, how many does that?
Theater. Maybe 100?
100 people for Blackie and the Rodeo Kings, back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
They're getting the treat. And so you're just missing that. You arrive tomorrow. And
so whether they're going to be there when I get there, I'm not sure. They might hang out for the rest of the festival. I play the rap party.
In the Legion.
At the Woody Point Legion. And it's been 10 years already. It'll be my 10th year this year.
This is your 10th year.
10th. 10th.
They must like you.
Well, I'm doing something right. Yeah, no, it's always a blast, and there's certain things that happen that are surreal. Like last year, I was playing, and there was this gentleman, a bit older, dancing and cutting a rug, and Stephen Brunt came up to me, and he goes, "You know who that was dancing in front of you for the last hour or so?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "That's Michael Ondaatje." So there's those type of things happen. So that's pretty
well. There
cool.
are other writers, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But I mean,
with,
yeah,
right?
I mean, there's
like
a
who?
Whole. I mean, Des Walsh. I got to play with Ron Hines.
Did Des Walsh?
Des Walsh, a poet, and he played drums.
He played drums. I was there that year.
No, oh, you were there.
I was there when he decided to sit in on drums, and he was reluctant to do so, but he actually played them. Right.
So Des Walsh, Des Walsh, a very famous Newfoundland poet, and a great drummer, and he is super cool. Like, just, you know, when you look at him talking, he's just super nice and articulate and very intelligent, very well-read man. And he said one year, he was like, "Yeah, I play a little bit of drums." And I remember he had a purple velour blazer on, like a crushed velvet type. And he looked... super cool, super hip. And he's like, "Well, I'll get up and, yeah, sure, I'll give it a go and play some drums." Anyways, we did like a Chicago Jimmy Reed style shuffle, you know? And he started playing, and the room went crazy.
I remember Shane was, you were impressed because you didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that was the second time because I think he played with me either the year before or the year before that. And I kept on bugging. I was like, "Get up and play drums for a song, whatever." And it's just one of those guys that, you know, he hadn't played drums for years and his hands weren't really there. And it's like anything else. If you don't do it all the time, you lose it very quickly. But the touch doesn't go away. And so you know, he was, you know, flubbing a few things here and there, but I mean, it didn't really matter because the overall feeling and vibe of the song, even if it was a bit sloppy, I mean, the whole bar was dancing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just but you would mention, you'd mention Ron Hynes, the late Ron Hynes. He was like the poet laureate of Newfoundland.
Yeah. The Bob Dylan, the whatever you want to say, but yeah, I mean, tremendous songwriter, tremendous career, and, we met when my first festival, I met him, and a bit of a rocky start when we first met each other because it was late night and I was drinking some Jack Daniels, so I wasn't my normal affable self.
And you were on his turf.
And I was on his turf. So there was a bit of like, well, who are you? And I was like, well, who are you? And I didn't, you know. But ended up all being super cool, and then I really... After the day after somebody told me, it was like, do you know who you were drinking with the other night? I was like, no, I don't know. And then they gave me the lowdown, because how would you know if you're not from there? You know? Ended up playing with him a bunch of times, sitting with him, and or he was sitting with me. We ended up doing, he taught me how to play I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles. And I kept fucking up the chord changes. And he's like, it's okay, you'll get it, you'll get it. Like calling me out on the mic, like, okay, next time maybe you'll get it. And I think we did that at the... El Dorado, or what was the name of the place in Hamilton? We played there for Stephen Brunt for somebody's birthday party, and he got up and he sang it.
So basically, the Brunt, the writers at Woody Point, Stephen started this, and it's really grown.
It's his 14th or 15th year, but then it's my 10th year,
And he's got all kinds of sponsors. They love him in Newfoundland because he brings so many people out there.
Sure.
And he basically, he brings his friends and the writers he most admires, right?
And changed, well, I think he's injected quite a bit of life into that town. I mean, it's like a thing, and
right?
It's multiple events.
Joseph Boyden,
yep,
has been there a couple of times.
Joseph Boyden is, I mean,
he's a heavy duty writer.
Heavy duty writer, and he plays harmonica. And so, the year that he was there, we ended up jamming late at night, and then played with him the night after. He sat in my set, and the girl I was going out with at the time, her aunt was a fiction writer, and we were supposed to go to we were going to New Orleans, and he was with his wife, and they were both teaching at Tulane,
right? Amanda Boyden, who was an actual
extortionist and a contortionist. If you've locked the door, she'll find a way into your house.
Contortion.
Watch me do this backflip. Now give me all your money. The juice is rolling. You're missing the vig.
One of the most interesting couples I've ever met.
So he goes, if you come to New Orleans, give me a call. So I said, well, I got this friend, and it turns out my girlfriend's father's girlfriend was a huge Joseph Boyden fan. And much like my Bernard Purdy story for you and my Alan Falovich story, yes. I'm like, I know Joseph Boyden. She goes, You know Joseph Boyden. I was like, why would I make that up? I don't read books. I don't like books, Mitch. I don't read them. I don't like them. I don't like words. I don't like the English language. No. And so he goes, call me up. So we end up going. And we end up going
dog.
To Tipitina's.
Oh, you went to Tipitina's? Did you rub Professor Longhair when you
went
in?
No, didn't. I didn't touch anything.
Isn't that part of the custom at Tipitina's? There's like a bust of Professor Longhair.
I didn't touch anything.
Okay.
And then we went to this, for a crawfish boil. At some place in like, and not, it wasn't like the French Quarter. It was in New Orleans.
Real.
And yes, the real deal. And we had a great time. And she was like, she was flummoxed at the fact that I knew Joseph Boyden.
Yeah.
And so it's been a great run. Hopefully they'll have me back for number 11.
Well, I'm sure in a couple of weeks when we get back together at CNS Studios in Western NDG.
West Side.
Thank you, Alan Hodgson. You'll have a couple of stories to share with us on your 10th appearance at the Writers at Woody Point. And
Middlebrook Creek. I told you that story.
Yeah.
I thought they found a spot on my lungs. I thought I was going to die. This is my first festival. And I'm wound up. So they think they've found something. So I have to go play this festival. Never been to Newfoundland before. And the taxi driver picks me up at the airport. It's like, you seem about wound up. And I said, is there any place I could grab a drink on the way? Because it's like an hour from Deer Lake. And he goes, no, but I got these pills. And he pulls out a bottle of, it was either Adderall or Adasol, but like a big bottle. And he's like, yeah, just take a couple, whatever, you'll be fine. And I was like, Newfoundland's pretty heavy, man. Pretty heavy scene. And I ended up hitting it off with this guy, Lou McDonald. I've told the story before on your show. And he took me, we drank for like 10 hours. And this is, sounds bad on the podcast. Like, I'm a lush. I'm not a lush. I taught Pilates today. I did a yoga class. And we drank, and he's like, we got to go for a swim. And I remember I took you there the year that you went. I took you to the spot, and I climbed a waterfall naked. And we were hammered.
Yeah.
And I'm climbing this waterfall, and this water is like pouring over me. And I'm like, well, you know, if you got to go, you got to go. And he was like, my buddy Lou was like rolling. He's like, this guy's insane from Montreal, right? Because I'm naked. My big white ass is like probably sticking out of the waterfall. The tan, my bikini tan line's showing. So, and I remember I was like trying to talk to God. He didn't answer. But anyways, everything worked out okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, Newfoundland's a trip.
Well, that trip that we took, that's when I discovered how funny you were.
Yeah.
All that time in the
funny, funny how?
Funny, like really funny.
What do you mean?
You know? And
no, I don't know what you mean.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to think of a similar setting recently. I had Jim Brewer in my studio for 30 minutes during the Just for Laughs Comedy Fest.
Yeah.
It was an all-timer. You know Jim Brewer?
I listened to it. I told you I'm a fan.
Wasn't he?
What did I tell you today at breakfast? Well, don't say everything that I told you, but yeah. What did I tell you?
Yeah,
I
said, you enjoy listening to
it. I do enjoy listening to you. I'm a fanboy. I'm like, that's my pal Mitch, and I do enjoy.
But Jim Brewer is what a talent. What a talent. He does Aussie. And,
he didn't stop. And no. He can sing.
Yeah, he can. And I just let him go. And I had to work hard at not laughing as loudly as I felt like laughing because I didn't want anybody to miss what he was saying with an overpowering laugh.
No, he was great.
Yeah. So that's great. Tonight, you're reminding me of that.
The Jim Brewer.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. You want to finish up with anything?
Nope, just trying to break even. Sound down the fellas and everybody in the band. Ding, ding, ding. My best friend Jim and all of them. If I don't do it, somebody else will.
Hey, by the way, the last waltz is going to be shown. Let's hope Aretha makes a comeback. The last waltz will be shown in, I think, next Sunday at that public square at the bottom of Saint Laurent Boulevard.
You see when it came out?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they Photoshop the?
I saw a copy with the cocaine in the nose of Neil Young.
They got it now, Robbie. How awesome is that, though?
It's amazing.
Van Morrison in the purple jumpsuit.
The last time the
bedazzled onesie.
Yeah, the last time he could wear something like that.
Captain of Lincoln Wright. Turn it up. Don't do it now. Gypsy roll.
Yeah, I don't want to stop here.
We'll keep going. What are they going to do? Lauren's not going to fire us.
How about Rick Danko?
That's a great scene when he's like, we play cutthroat with the pool balls.
Right. And then it was kind of sad when he was recording on his own for a solo album, right? The post-production stuff part of The Last Waltz. Yeah. Anyway, we're getting carried away with The Last Waltz. I want to go out with a moving performance by Aretha Franklin. And hope you enjoyed our tribute to Aretha. Thanks again to Lorne Rubin, Paramount Financial Services. Very, very easy to talk to. Don't be shy. 514-905-0876. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. Tell you more about the... Is this a joke? No, it's a roast of Tony Marinaro at Club Soda on Thursday, September 27th. Shane and a band. I don't even know who's going to be in the band. He's going to have surprise people show up and sing with him. And
I'm going to try and get most of the crew from the Southern Soul Review. That was a great house band.
You guys
band.
Should have a name. You should work on this. Come up with a name so I could, you know.
The Melnicks.
No.
The Mitchies.
No, the Falaviches.
The Falaviches. He's making a buck.
The
Yankles.
Thanks for listening, Yank and Alan and everybody else. This is just Aretha alone on the piano, again from Rare and Unreleased, the way we started. It's called Are You Leaving Me?
Are you leaving?
just won't let me be. I know that you care for me, and I put you through a lot of misery.
Don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go.